I want to celebrate Father's Day with you today by celebrating my father, and in particular, celebrating how my father's theology has influenced me. Now, if I say my father's theology, you're probably imagining that my father is a religious man, but I have to tell you that he is not. And though he was raised as a Baptist, he doesn't consider himself to be a Christian, despite the best efforts of my sister and her family to convert him. Theology is the study of concepts of religious truths. And my father is not a theologian, but he knows more about religion than a lot of people, and he's thought a lot about what he believes and doesn't believe and what informs his life. But most importantly, he has considered how to put these things into practice. Brian Tinsley Bunch was raised in East Texas, and his family would go to church together on Sundays. But even as a young age, he was confused about the message of the gospel, the idea that Jesus died for our sins. He told me that his mother would take him to tent revivals and how the preachers would get everybody all worked up and come forward and they'd all be crying and he could just never figure it out. And one day a preacher came up to him, was like pressuring him to take Jesus, and he ran to his mother crying because he didn't understand what that man wanted from him. Now, when I was a child, my mother would take my sister and I to church. Or my father would drive us, and then he would pick us up afterwards. I knew that my parents didn't see eye to eye about religion, but I didn't really understand how or why until much later. I did notice that when the Jehovah's Witness came to call, my father would love to invite them in and then point out all the inconsistencies in the Bible. My father comfortably describes himself as an agnostic. He says he doesn't know if God exists, but he does appreciate the grandeur and the miracle of nature. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or that he died for our sins. He does believe in the power of the Golden Rule, the essential message that Jesus preached. My father doesn't believe in hell, and thinks it's quite a ridiculous idea that a baby or someone who lived a good life would burn in hell eternally because they never accepted the Christian message. He does believe that we should all do our best to be fair and kind and treat people with respect. Does any of this sound familiar to you? My father is not a Unitarian Universalist, though many of you recognize his story as typical of Unitarian Universalists. Maybe if he had been born in a different time or place, he would have become one. He is one of many of people in the world who share our values and have a similar path to us, but for many reasons are not part of our congregations. But I am a Unitarian Universalist. In fact, I am a Unitarian Universalist minister. When I reflect on my father's life, I realize how much of his perspective on religion has influenced me, and how much I have learned from the way he has chosen to live his life. Now, if you ask my father about his life, he would tell you that there's nothing remarkable at all about his life. He was born in East Texas in 1925, came to California riding the rails or hitchhiking on the rails when he was 15 years old. He served in the Coast Guard during World War II, moved to Oakland after the war, and established the career that would become his life work. Actually, fell into the career that would become his life's work. He worked hard to support his family, raised two daughters. He's been married to my mother for 67 years. Unremarkable. Many men would share a similar story. But allow me to remark on how his unremarkable life has influenced me. Let me give you some context. I've done eulogies for men of my father's generation, and when you look back on the life of someone, a lot of us are wanting to find the big things that they did, the things that stood out, the things that are memorable, maybe a heroic act or something that had a significant impact that we can easily perceive. But life is lived in the small actions, in our interactions and our reactions. And the heroic life can easily be in those small day-to-day choices as it is in any one big event. It's the small acts of our life that make up most of our time and where most of our attention goes. There's a quote from Helen Keller that I've been drawn to for years. She said, "I long to accomplish great and noble tasks, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble." It was in these small day-to-day acts where I observed my father making meaning for himself and for others. And it is in this day-to-day where you will find my father's theology. My father was a donut maker for 40 years. For many years, he worked 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. He fell into it after the war and owned his own business when he was in his early 20s. A hardworking man, typical of many men of his generation. I remember when I was young and I would complain about some task I had to do that I really didn't want to do, he would tell me that the time I spent whining, I could have already completed the project. Hard times came to my father early in life, not only in his childhood, but that a business that he had started in his late 20s, he'd expanded his donut shop, moved it into being a restaurant, and went into bankruptcy. This was an important lesson for his life. And he tells me about that time and how when he started up his business again, he had to really fake it until he made it. He had to believe in himself enough to have the commitment to go forward, even when inside he didn't feel that way. So he called himself the world's greatest donut maker. This was first to prop himself up, and he got a tremendous amount of teasing about this from our family and from his employees. But he told me he started it to give himself a goal, and then he set about to make that true. What I learned from this is that you offer your best to the world and you care about what you do and how you do it, even when you're not feeling the best about yourself. My father taught me always to ask questions. He said, "Don't believe things just because people tell you that they're true. Find out for yourself. Learn for yourself." In a lot of families, it's the children that are pestering the parents with questions. In my family, every time I would ask a question, my father would give me 10 questions. Why do you think it's that way? How do you think it could be different? This trained a really critical mind and an approach to always challenging and asking questions. One of the hallmarks of Unitarian Universalism. My father had this rule when we were growing up about always try new things. You don't have to like it. You don't ever have to do it again, but you needed to try it. Whenever we'd whine and complain about some new food or some new activity, he'd say, "Hey, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again, but you have to try it." This was useful for me when he and I went out for his first sushi meal when I was an adult. My father also taught me an important lesson of caring about those who have less than you do or whose lives are challenged. Both he and my mother volunteered for their community in many ways for most of their lives. But what I learned most about my father and what I learned most from my father was observing the way he ran his business. Now you can imagine working 6 or 7 days a week, my father was working all the time. But his business was right across the street from our house. And so I could see my father anytime I wanted to. And I did. When I was able, in high school, I would go there in the morning to say hello to him because he would start work at 4 a.m. I'd go there after school sometimes to say hello. I started working there when I was 11 years old. One of the things that stood out for me was the way he treated his employees. I think he probably had 12 or 15 employees in this donut shop, and many of them led very challenged lives. Spousal abuse, drug abuse in their families, money problems, just the everything that you could imagine. In fact, sometimes we call the donut shop was like a soap opera. But I never thought that the people that worked for my father were anything but really good people who had challenges in their lives. He treated them totally with respect, and over the years built a family of his employees. He told me then we'd hire somebody new. At first, sometimes they'd be afraid of him because he was the boss, and that made him really uncomfortable, and he worked to build community with them. He taught me to care about people even when they make bad choices, creating a family at the donut shop. But this family extended beyond the employees. My father set about building a community in his donut shop, one customer at a time. Now, I have to tell you a little bit about the place where he had the donut shop when I was growing up. It was in a food court kind of setting. Now, this was in the 60s and the 70s, but it was one of those sort of like at the mall where there's a Chinese and there's a Mexican, and he was the donut shop. There might have been 10 restaurants in this, and they had a shared common area. But he was open at 5 a.m., and none of the other places opened until 11. And so essentially, this big space was available to the customers of the donut shop. And he filled that space up. As the years went on, more and more customers would come. So on a Saturday or a Friday morning or the busy time on a weekday, there might be as many as 200 people sitting in that restaurant enjoying coffee and donuts. My father used to say that donuts are the great equalizer. He'd say, just like everybody puts pants on one leg at a time, everybody likes donuts. But I think actually the great equalizer was my father. He set up the donut shop so that the donuts were being made in the space where the customers would line up to make their order and pay for their donuts. And he would stand there and roll out the donuts and greet every single customer that came by. He would make sure that everyone felt at home, felt appreciated, learned their names, and his employees would do the same. Some people came to that donut shop every workday for 25 years. It was part of their community. Marriages were created among the customers of that donut shop. People would go on cruises together with friends that they'd met at that donut shop. Now, my father was a businessman, and so creating this community was good for business. But he told me that he could have made a lot more money if he'd spent more time focusing on making money and less time on caring about his customers and caring about building a community. So that donut shop is gone. My father retired in the late 80s. And just like the end of a community or the end of a life, the donut shop is gone, but the memories and the relationships and the spirit lives on in all of the people that spent time there. So what did I learn from all this? People matter. Relationships matter. I learned you can change the world by treating everyone with kindness and by greeting everyone with kindness. I learned that you can change the course of your life and the life of others by believing in yourself, but by believing in your ability to create things. Now, I don't want to give you the idea that my father has no faults, or that I think he has no faults. We're taping this, and he and my mother are going to listen to it, and I especially don't want him to think that I think he has no faults. No one is without fault. And when we think about all the fathers and all the Father's Days, not everyone has a warm and friendly and pleasant memory or relationship with their father. Perhaps they didn't get what they needed as a child, or their current relationship with their father is challenged, or their father's behavior had a negative impact on them. My father is one of those people. His father was an alcoholic and a liar. He stole from him, he lied to the family, and abandoned his family multiple times over my father's childhood. My father tells me that many of the ways he has chosen to be is because of his father. He has chosen to be the opposite of his father. His father served as a negative role model. My father evolved to be what his own father was not. And that choice that my father made had a very positive influence on me. The way he chose to live his life and the what I observed about him has shaped my belief system. My father taught me about the inherent worth and dignity of every person, not by just saying it, but by living it. He modeled that we should practice justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. He modeled this by the way he treated people, his quest for fairness, and his respect for community. He was a community builder. And through this, he was honoring the interdependent web of all existence. My father is not a Unitarian Universalist, but I am, and he paved the way for me to be a Unitarian Universalist. He paved the way by the small intentional acts that created a life rich in meaning, by teaching me that it matters how we treat people and that we should treat everyone with respect and compassion. He demonstrated to me that we are creating the world by our choices and by our actions. What did you learn from your father? What were the small ways that his life influenced you, negative or positive? What is it about your father that led you to be the person that you are today? How has your father shaped your belief system? These are worthy questions to consider on this Father's Day. To close, I'd like to offer my own version of Only a Dad, written in 2014 instead of 1916, with apologies to the poet guest, I offer these words. Only a dad, but he gives his all, changing the world in ways big and small, paving the way for my life to grow, teaching me what I need to know. In my tribute to him, I will say again, only a dad, but the best of men. Blessed be.